family, the Donovans, for this is the third year. The first year we talked about living generously, and then last year, the second year of the series was called Loving Generously, and then this year is about Leading Generously. And I hope those of you that have been here for 3 years have seen sort of the progression of really trying to move out this understanding, even the children's message this morning of the really, it's about loving God, but the best way to do that is by loving others. That's the most practical way. And if you think about even the last couple days, just the attention to our communities, to those that are in need, how this community, like so many, reaches out to those that are what I call broken. And I'm broken, so I'm in that. I'm broken in a different way. But the people who really need to know God's love. And so this morning we're going to sort of lean into this fifth week. But I want to back up and one more time to just go through the memory verses that we've chosen over the last 5 weeks. And I have to tell you, when we get to week five, which is today, I don't know how God does these things, because obviously he's in control and I'm not. But as we sat downstairs in the adult ed hour, which again, put a plug in, that's if you want to get up a little bit early and have a fun conversation about faith. Right now we're leaning into a series on Christmas that they actually started a couple weeks ago, but it turns out that the verse for their class this morning, the adults, is actually our verse for today. And that may be just coincidence, but I think maybe God is a God that knows that at least I need repetition. I don't know about the rest of you, but I want to remind you that you can follow this series. We've set up a special website, lindenroad.church. You can jump on and watch any of the previous episodes, and today's episode will be up later this afternoon. The password you need to get into the video is seed, lowercase, S-E-E-D, and I would invite you to do that. But let's begin first by going back to week one. So the verse from week one, if you would read it with me, was this: for every one of God's promises is yes in him. Therefore, through him, we also say amen to the glory of God. Now, just to remind you that this idea, this first thought we had was this idea of promises, and remind you that we actually made available a little seed sponge that you could plant to be reminded that much like our lives, God's promises that we have to sort of journey through. If you remember a few weeks ago when the cast from the Joseph's Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat was here, that story of Joseph and just knowing that what happened to Joseph as a young child actually set up his ability to lead Egypt through an incredible time. And so I just want to encourage you that the story that God's writing in your life, whether you're a young person, you know, one of our littles, or you're a teen, or you're someone who's in another season of life, or anywhere in between, is that God uses where we've been to take us to where he wants us to go, that our stories matter. I've been doing some intentional reading in the morning, and there's a couple of books, and I've been reminded that the idea of our stories matter. And even when we find that our stories are messy, they matter. Because in those moments, as we saw the story this morning downstairs about Joseph and Mary, just thinking about this idea of what, you know, at least for me, it's a video drama, and we're following the story of Mary and Joseph, and Jesus was actually born this morning in the video. But to be reminded that that stable where he was born was probably not very clean. And when we tell the Christmas story, we do it with such niceties and such pleasantries that we don't think that there was actually stuff that had to be shoveled out of there. And I don't know about you, but there's sometimes in my life, there's stuff that needs to be shoveled out. And that's why this idea of where we've been on this particular series called Leading Generously is to help you see, each of us individually, that we each lead people. Now, we may not be the point person, we may not be the CEO, may not be the person in charge, but if we look at the people that are around us in the place where we work or even in our homes, there's responsibilities we have, and we have to get our job done so others can get their job done. And so we're all in this together. And so this idea of really looking at this thing of leading and leading well and being generous in our leading. And so that's part of why we need to see that it starts first with God's promises, that he promises us certain things. And that I love how this verse actually ends with the glory of God, which is where we came out of the Reformation, that's why we do all of it. But here's week two. Read together with me. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus, my Lord. Now, it's important for us to see. So week one was promises. Week two, this verse helped us understand this idea of legacy, that we're all leaving a legacy. We're all leaving something that's behind us. And it's not just a dirt trail. It's actually something that other people are going to come along and find. And it may be that even now we get to lean into that with the opportunity of helping others see the hope that exists and who Jesus is. Because that's really what it points to. And so Paul is saying, look, when I count it all together, at the end of the day, it all doesn't matter other than knowing that Christ is in charge. Because when you think about it, and especially those of us that are in a season of life, and I include myself, this last third of my life, I want my life to mean something. I want it to mean something so that when people gather to celebrate who I was, because I'm no longer here in the body, that there's people who will say, you know what, because of how he lived his life, because of the things that he did, the people he engaged in, that the life around them has been changed. And I hope that's true for you, because we all have an opportunity to do that. And let's go on to week three, which is this idea of ambition. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. I mean, part of what we looked at in week three was this idea that there is this thing called ambition. And I wanted us to see in the series that ambition is not something that's bad in and of itself. But in terms of where the ambition takes us, the idea of selfish ambition versus God's ambition. And as we've looked at the story of Frank and Ray in particular, Ray's the gardener who we find out in this week, that Ray actually, in another life, actually his earlier life, after losing his wife to cancer, ended up being removed from leadership of his church because he was a pastor, which helps fill in the storyline of why he was, when we met him 2 years ago, he was homeless, and he was working at a soup kitchen, and he was working for the Donovans. And again, it's a fictitious story, but I think the stories that are being told through these characters, they're very real in terms of our own story. And so it's important for us to see, why do we do what we do? What is it about our ambition that drives us? There is such a thing as godly ambition, of using your position and the place, your talents and your treasures that God has given you to leverage the kingdom. But that's a very difficult balance to walk, and we know that that's part of the journey that we all have to face, because sometimes we don't like the accolades. Sometimes we don't like the fact that people point us out for the good things that we do. We're almost embarrassed by that, but that we shouldn't be. If it's something that God has wired you to be and do in terms of leadership, whatever it is, that there's something you should rejoice in that. And then our fourth week, last week, was this idea of capacity. And here's what Paul says to Timothy, and read it with me. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Now, I hope you see that in that there's actually a connection back to sort of the other verses, because it is about that legacy, and it is about the life that you're leading right now in the season that God has you in. And I don't know about you, but we all probably gathered at some place on Thursday for Thanksgiving. And I'm going to guess, just because it was like my house, your house, there was some messiness. There were some people, maybe there's some broken relationships that need to be restored. But there's something about when we gather together around the table for food, that those things sort of get left aside. And we know, yeah, there may be the messiness, and we know there may be things in the background about how people are thinking, but we know that if we come with a humble heart and an idea of gratitude, that sort of will, at least for the moment, sort of knock down some barriers. Now, the purpose of the church, obviously, is to come together as we gather on Sunday and encourage each other in that, because whatever mess I'm pushing through, you may be pushing through in a similar way, and we need to know that. And we need to know that there's going to be some victory on the other end. That's why I love the men that we get to hang out with on Thursday for our men's study, because even though I'm the youngest guy in the room, I think, right? Yeah, for the most part, the wisdom that comes from just sitting with men who have done life, well, and can say, when I talk about it's complicated, they go, yeah, it is. And you know what? It doesn't get any easier, but there are moments, which is like, okay, that's great, right? But there are moments in the midst of that where we need to be reminded that we just have to stay with it. We have to stay with it. And that's why when we gather here as a church each week, why that's important. And so I want us to lean into then this fifth verse for this Sunday. which is from Paul's letter to the church of Philippi. And let's read it together. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. And it's really important that we sort of hang on this today because, and again, providentially, as God works in these things, I mean, we map these things out and I try to plan for, as we're thinking about the message, but this is a perfect way for us to move from thinking about generosity to moving into Advent next week. And the gathering as a church on Saturday to sort of transform the sanctuary once more into a space that says Christmas is coming. Because we need to be reminded that what Jesus gave up, and that's really sort of the whole story of where this Leading Generously series has gone, and it will take us this morning, is we need to see that there's things that God has given us. It's not just the excess that's in our lives, but it's really the essence of who he is. And so that's the title of this morning's video. So check this out. Stay with me. God, as we look at this last Sunday in our journey of what it means to lead generously, we're reminded of just even this week of the gratitude that we have for so many things that we just take for granted. At least I know I am. But God, this morning as we look at your gratitude towards us by what you did through Jesus for us, was to restore us to a place that we could have a relationship with you. And even though over the these last many weeks we've watched the story that's played out in Frank Donovan and Ray and the journey there, we know that it's not really real because it's made up and there's a script. But God, we do know that it's real because it touches on those things in our own life, of the things that we wish we could have done or the things we should have done or the things that we could have done. But God, we know that today is really about what we can do today. Not what has happened to us in the past, but how today we can be different because of the essence of who Jesus is and what he offers us. And so this morning, as we look to your word, as we wrap up this series, may we be encouraged by that. May we understand your amazing love for us, how you love us beyond measure, how there's nothing that we can do that will push you away, that everything that you've done since the creation of time has brought us even this morning in this building to this place. And so this morning, God, we just pray that you would show up, that you would encourage us to be men and women of faith, to understand the life that you've given us of what that offers others. And so this morning, as we look to your word, as the words I've written out, may your Holy Spirit take what's necessary and drive it down deep in each of us, that we know for sure in ways like the beauty of the sun that hit us this morning as we came in the building, that your love is sure. And so we just ask your blessing now, your Holy Spirit to come in your most precious name. And all God's people said, amen. So let me begin with the first point. It's real simple. We are called not to give out of our excess, but we're called to give out of our essence. And so Frank, in his acceptance speech, he had talked about how this is what he has and how he was able to do all sorts of amazing things because of the way he was wired. Because we know a little bit about him. He's a high-capacity guy. He's been a CEO of a large company. His life has been very good. He's had all the things in life that he wanted. But in the journey, we've been able to follow along and realize that there's more to life than that. And so Frank realized it isn't about him taking his assets and actually pouring them into somebody else, that really what matters for him is actually taking who he is and his gifts and his time and his talents and, yes, his treasures and pouring into somebody else. And so the journey we've been on these last many weeks, and I would say even the journey we've been on together over these last 3 years, is trying to understand that. And as we've drilled down and drilled down and drilled down, what is our mission statement? What is it who we are? Why do we exist? And we say it's about loving God and loving others. And then last weekend we gathered as leadership team, and we added two words your team did coming out of that. And simply this idea of we want to love God and love others, which is a very biblical understanding and it's very generic. But we want to love others, love God, love others with, as we added the words, no limits. Now that gets kind of messy because when you add no limits, as we even thought through even why this is this morning, why we decided to move a couple pews because we realized that if we wanted to be a church that reached the community in a healthy way, then we need to be uncomfortable with the things that we thought and figured out how do we offer an amazing music program. And we realized that by the way we made it work here a few weeks ago, it's like this doesn't work. And so this may not be what it looks like 5 weeks from now, but right now it's like this is our attempt to say, no, we love God and we love others and we do it with no limits because, yeah, we like our comfort. We like the fact that we've known this space, many of us, for weeks, months, years in some case, decades maybe for some of you. But the idea of being uncomfortable is the way I think God wants all of us to be. And I think the story that Frank's telling us this morning as we see just a little snippet of the fact that he's decided to sell his house, to actually resign from his position of authority as being the CEO of this large company, and to do, of all things, to go hang out with some amazing young people at the community center that he has grown, to hang out and mentor. And so we need to see that there's this essence piece that this morning I want us to drill down. Now, I want to teach you a little Greek this morning. So there is this word kenosis. Can you say that? Kenosis? Kenosis. It's actually a very interesting theological term, and it really is this idea of what Jesus did. Jesus, and you've heard me say this a number of times, he took on flesh and moved in the neighborhood, is how Eugene Peterson says it in The Message. That Jesus, even though he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords and sat in heaven on high, he decided to come to earth and be a child, to be even born. As we watched the video this morning, it's like, you know, birth is kind of messy. There's this conversation between Mary and Joseph, and Joseph says, is it supposed to be this way? And it's like, yeah. Mary's going, yeah, it's supposed to be this way because that's the way life works. And if you've ever been in a birthing room or been to the hospital and seen what happens in the birthing room, it is not pretty in the process. It's beautiful when we get to the incubator and life is good and we're holding the baby, but that journey, whether it's a C-section or natural birth, whatever it is, we know that it's part of the journey. And yet, when you talk to mothers that have pushed through that, and you ask them about that moment, many of them will say, I don't really remember that. Or if I do, because of the joy that we have in the child. Now, there are moments I know, even for my mom, that there was not joy, that I stretched her and pushed her and cajoled her in ways that a son shouldn't do, because I was just a knucklehead. And even to this day, I'm still sort of a knucklehead. But that's the beauty of this thing called family. But this idea of kenosis, and it really is this idea that comes out of John chapter 15. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. Now, the reality for us is that we aren't just called to give of our excess, but we're to give out of our essence. And so Jesus, of all people, because he is a human being now, he left the Godhead in the heavens, came to earth to model for us, not just how to love each other, in the sense of doing life with each other, but also by the ultimate, by realizing that the reality is that there's this thing called sin, and the sin separates us from God, and so we need that presence of Jesus, not just to come and live a good life, but that song that we're here maybe on the radio already at Christmas time, Mary, did you know? Mary, as the mother of Jesus, you're holding this baby. Did you know that there was going to be a day when he was 33 years old that he is willingly going to give up his life and you're going to watch that happen? Did you know that? And it, probably in the back of Mary's mind, she did, but you've got to remember as we watch that story unfold in the scriptures that she is encouraged to drive some things down. And the scripture actually says to us how she treasured those moments in her heart. So I think that really was for her eventually, knowing that when something was coming, she didn't quite understand, but the idea of the salvation of the world. Now, there's a prolific writer, he's since passed, by the name of Henry Nouwen. Henry is Roman Catholic, or he's Catholic, and he's written all sorts of books. He actually lived in a community in Toronto where the folks there, I believe it was cerebral palsy, where he lived in this community of helping people who didn't have a full life, loved on them and encouraged them, fed them, clothed them, changed their diapers, all those kinds of things. But Henry has this story in his book, The Return of the Prodigal. And in that story, he talks about how the journey is actually for the prodigal son. His story, the reason, and I don't think, I had never really thought about it this way, But you need to understand that the prodigal son is experienced what he's experiencing so that when he became a father, he would know how to be a father. Now, we all know that story. We know how the son leaves the father. He sets off on his own, a journey of what we know to be sin, and yet the reconciliation would come someday. And then realizing that in the mind of even Henry Nouwen, as he tries to write this out, is for us to see that this is all anticipation of the prodigal fulfilling his duty in his life someday as being a father. The prodigal one day would have the same opportunity to show compassion to others. He would have the same way that his father showed him in sort of an amazing way. Nouwen writes this. He says, "The father desires so strongly to give life to his son that he doesn't even wait for an apology, but he welcomes him and celebrates him and restores him as his heir." Now, you might say that the father in the prodigal son parable pours himself out, much like Frank was doing to show this idea of essence. That the father sets aside his dignity that was his as a father. He sets aside his right to lecture his son or even to refuse him. And what does he do? He pours out, humbly pours out in love and service to the son. This is an image of divine love and grace. And someday, the son could be a similar image of divine love and grace to someone else. That's the whole point. That's why this whole series is to help you see that as you lead, that you have the opportunity of leading by investing in others that are around you. And so it's this. It's this understanding in your worship notes. As you are transformed, not only living as a seed of the promise of God, but also as cultivating those seeds in other people. I like to say it this way. For me personally, I know that our relationship with Jesus rescues us from hell. And that's beautiful because we want that kind of restoration. But we need to be reminded that he rescues us from hell for us to do a purpose. To offer to others that cup of water. To offer to others that encouragement. And then I want us to see that here, the point number three, the highest form of leadership is serving others and helping them to be all that God has made them to be. That's why we do church. That's why we do children's ministry downstairs. Is so that in some small way, we can help younger children understand who they are, whose they are, and what God desires for them. And I'm going to guess that if you're a teacher downstairs, a volunteer downstairs, as you invest in our children, it changes who you are. And that's the whole point. You know, they're believing in the seeds that God has placed in others, believing that God has gifted and called them to serve in his kingdom and to live the life that is truly life. We can help others discover their calling and live the lives that God has prepared for them. You know, this may be the greatest gift that we can give to another person. If we can pour ourselves into others and give them to themselves, we bring out the life that Jesus has within them. And again, to be reminded, like Joseph of old, each of us in our own story have some messiness. And it may be that you're in a season of life all the way on the other end of life of where God is only beginning to use you in an incredible way. I mean, think about the story of Frank. Frank was high capacity. He was a successful CEO. And what would seem like a demotion for him being forced out of his company, actually it's amazing to me that he would take, because the life that he will offer, like we didn't see it this week, but this picture he had, and last week he interacted with a young man that was like so excited about him coming and spending time. That is the desire that God has for each of us. Now, Frank ends up leaving behind a position that would be admired and applauded, and as the CEO of a successful company, he takes this position at the community center that many in the world would scarcely notice. And yet he's going to do probably what I think is the greatest thing he could possibly do with his time and his talent and his treasures. And how does Frank do that? He does this because he sets aside, and this goes back into some of the concepts we've learned over the previous weeks, his own selfish ambitions. He sets aside a vision of leadership that he has inherited from the world and adopted a kingdom perspective, a concept of leadership in which the first are last and the last are first. Many of us have heard that. And then finally, after all the things he has learned, he is trusting in the promises of God and giving himself wholly to the kingdom. Because you remember, even as he takes and accepts his reward, he says, "I'm not quite sure how this is going to happen next year, because you've existed out of my generosity these many years, and now I'm going to be receiving that generosity." And for those of us that saw last week's episode, we'll be reminded that, you know, he sat down with the gentleman who was going to replace him to say, "Look, here's what I need from you. I need you to keep doing what I was doing. Now that I'm going to be doing something different. Finally, after all the things that he has learned, Frank is trusting that God is going to show up, because we know that he's going to downsize. We know that his expenses are going to radically change, his costs, his income is going to change, and yet in that he needs to trust who God is. Because, you see, we need to have people like Frank. We need to have people in the community who will set aside their worldly ambitions and focus on what benefits the kingdom of God. A couple scriptures here just to remind us from Mark. Jesus says, calling the crowd along with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me and the gospel will save it. For what does it benefit someone to gain the whole world and yet lose his life? Or this verse from Matthew, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So it's just a practical takeaway. As we're thinking about Christmas, I want to invite Lynn to come up. We've got something we want you to be part of. It has something to do with pies. So where's Lynn? We are at the day before Christmas, the 23rd, the Saturday before, an opportunity to serve here in our community. So let Lynn share what it is that you can be a part of.
Good morning, all. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to our church family for having been gracious givers over all these years. In the past, for many years, we partnered with Alternative Gives International and raised money to sponsor a variety of programs from all over the world. We also well exceeded 5,000 meals in our giving of food items for Project 5000. And how many of you remember the Armed Forces Blood Program blood drive that we did at the Army at the Air Base? How many of you were there? Okay. You know, we provided a ton of food for that event, and we had so many volunteers that we had to be creative in the ways that we kept everybody busy. And now we continue with serving our community by ringing the bells for the Salvation Army. So many times our church has shown what a gracious and generous community that we can be. So the mission committee has been discussing what we'd like to do for this year's Christmas project. For the past several weeks, we've been talking about living generously. So this year, the committee decided to embrace this concept by focusing on a hands-on project right here within our own community. Many of you are probably aware that there are folks within our neighborhoods who don't always get to eat a healthy meal. Several churches and organizations sponsor free meals within the community on a regular basis. One of these is St. Luke's Point of Grace at Marion and Park Avenue West. Point of Grace provides the meal, which are cooked and served by various volunteer churches. The mission committee has decided that we would like to be one of these volunteer churches. So, in the spirit of living generously, as Tom said, we will be cooking and serving a Christmas meal for those in need on Saturday, December 23rd. I know maybe some of you are probably thinking that's only 2 days before Christmas. It's the last Saturday before Christmas. It's a crazy time in everybody's life, and we understand that. So what we've done is we've set up a grid, and we are asking people to sign up for maybe about an hour or so of your time. So, and I will have this posted out in the Narthex at the bulletin board, and you can sign up for a time. Now, the jobs that we're going to be asking you to do, there's going to be a cook team, and we're going to need help with setting up tables and wiping those down. And let me see here. We're going to need cleanup, and we're also, the churches that do provide the meal, or cook the meal, actually, provide the desserts. We're not really sure exactly how many people will be there. We're estimating between 75 to 125. So we are asking for donations of probably pies, cakes, cookies, brownies, whatever you're able to do. And at this time of the year, you know, many of us are already doing cooking and baking. So if you could include an extra couple of dozen of cookies or brownies, or maybe do an extra pie, you could even purchase it if you'd like, you know, it doesn't matter. If you're not able to actually come and help and volunteer, this is another way where you could provide a service. So for that, we have we will also have in the narthex disposable cake pans and pie pans for
like
those
these?
Of you, as Tom has here, you know, so that you don't have to worry about using your own pans. And how many of you ever lost a pan or a spoon or something? I know I have. So we'd like to make sure that doesn't happen. So that's what our project is this year. A little bit more simple than what we've done in the past, but definitely I can tell you, I have been on cook teams at Point of Grace before. And when I left when we left that night, we felt so inspired and uplifted and good. And we just felt, you know, the presence of God in our lives, that, you know, we did nothing more than cook a meal and serve it. But it was so uplifting. And I'd really like to share that with you during this Christmas season.
Thank you. So the pie pans and the cake pans will be at the back. You just take them and fill them up. We'll have them broken apart, so if you only want to make one. But it's just a way to make it really practical. And I think this is just a really simple hands-on way for us just to take a little bit of time. And if we think about the scriptures we even looked at this morning, just this idea, Jesus says, again, the last scripture, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Let me just go back, and I just want to sort of drill down and bring this to a wrap, if you will. Ray and Frank, you know, it's messy. You know, Ray, on the other hand, as we've seen his story, you know, there's obviously a daughter there that he's not known very well in the last few years. And then on top of that, there's actually a granddaughter that he is only beginning to be introduced to. And yet, if you think about that particular story, just of Frank, of Ray's journey, is that if we go back to when he, 2 weeks ago, when he lost his position within the church because of his own brokenness, he realized as he pushed through it that there was just some things that were going on, and he was actually afraid. And he was afraid because he took, as many people do, validation from what he did. And so he thought that by just being better at being a pastor, that would solve the problem, even though he was drinking and he was doing all sorts of things that were kind of not really what a pastor should do. And yet, let me just sort of take us a couple places here this morning as we wrap up. In the memory verse that we have for this week, it basically can be translated as Jesus emptied himself. Literally, he poured out who he was. Or the NIV says in that same verse that he made himself nothing. Think about that. The king of the universe, in the moment of becoming flesh, coming down to earth, basically made himself nothing. In order to take on the form of a servant, in order to take on what would eventually be his sacrifice that he would give for all of us individually. Now, in Ray's story, that Ray is doing something different than Frank is, but both of them are leaning into the same kind of understanding. Ray is setting aside his pride, and he's making himself nothing in order to serve his daughter and her need for reconciliation, because she needs him. You know, we too can give ourselves sacrificially to others. Just making pies or cakes or showing up to serve on Christmas Eve is just one of many things that we can do. You know, that when we give love where it hurts, where we give forgiveness where it's not deserved, when we give reconciliation where it's desperately needed. So just to think about this for yourself. How might God be calling you this morning to pour yourself out, not just for people down at the corner of Marion and down the street to serve at St. Luke's, not just for people who are maybe in your own home, but how about the people that you work with? How about the people that are in your neighborhood? And, you know, the metaphor for this week really was this idea of this cup of water that Jesus poured out for us. That's really this idea of seeing that his essence is what he offers us. And if you think, the water is, to me, as I even poured it this morning, I'm reminded of how many times we get to, and we'll be doing this next week, celebrate communion together. that idea of how his blood was poured out for us. Because you see, and here's the takeaway this morning, a believer's essence changes as the person of Jesus comes more and more to life within you. That's why reading your Bible, that's why being in church, why being in fellowship, Sunday school, other opportunities that we have, because as you change, as you get to know who Jesus is, he will become an even bigger part of who you are. And then you're able to give yourselves to others, not merely giving your baggage or your fallen nature, but you're giving the fullness of who Jesus is that is blossoming within you. Jesus himself emptied himself so that we could have fullness in him, and so we can empty ourselves, giving Christ to others, in order to see the fullness of Christ cultivated in others. So in other words, at the extreme of generosity, this is where generosity takes on maybe, I hope, a whole new understanding. Christ is giving himself through you, and the amazing thing is you have the privilege of seeing Christ come to life in others and watching them share Christ as well. Now, two more things for you to think about there in your worship notes, a little takeaway. What can you do today? Something you can do about it. What can you do even today to begin believing in the seed? That was sort of the promise that we began with, this idea that there's something inside of you that God wants to offer to others. And so the encouragement is that you would pray that God would help you believe in his promises. Where do you find yourself right now about his provision, about his care, about what he wants to offer you, and believe that he can give his life to others through you, that you actually can be a vehicle. And then you'll remember back in week one, I actually asked you to identify three people. And so this week, I want you to think about those people that you lead in some way. Can you create some kind of an action plan for how you can pour yourself out for them in a way that will point them to Jesus? How can you do that? So finally, we've followed Ray's story. We've seen over the last 3 years that he moved from homelessness to joblessness to having his own job to actually owning a company. And now we see in this current series he was able to purchase a home again. We've watched Frank Donovan went from a CEO to serving in an unassuming way over these last 3 years to be headed actually to a place where he's going to show up on a day-to-day basis and invest in the lives of some at-risk kids. And both of these are stories of stewardship and blessings. Both of these are sort of, even though they seem like they're going in different directions, it all comes down to this. Wherever you are planted, be fruitful. Wherever you are planted, give abundantly. And wherever you are planted, serve selfishly. We all need to help others discover the joy of doing the same. Whatever your sphere of authority, wherever God has placed you, God wants to show through you what it means to lead like Jesus Christ. It's a leadership of sacrifice, not showboating, of self-giving, not serving. And back to the memory verse for this week in Philippians 2. Jesus made himself nothing, it says, poured himself out and became a servant. Jesus didn't have a platform, he had the cross. Are you giving from your excess or from your essence? Are you giving yourself as to others as Jesus did? And simply this, Jesus is the seed God planted within you. Jesus is the source of our life. He is the wellspring of every blessing that we have. And so this journey that we've been on these last 5 weeks has been about helping you see that when you believe in the seed, when you believe in who God says he is, you are trusting that God will complete the work he began in you. It's a two-way street. But we have to do our part. We have to believe in who God is. That God will bring Christ to life within you, that he will make you more and more like him. That's the promise. And so, like a gardener of those seeds that are planted in others, we get the chance to fertilize the soil. We get the opportunity to create the conditions for growth. We get the opportunity to help others grow and bear fruit. Remember, 2 years ago, the theme was the idea about giving your good sheep. Don't hold back on that which God has not blessed you with, but actually risk to give the very best that you have to God. That was this idea of living generously. And then this last year, we spent the journey walking through, realizing that there are people that we need to invite to our table so that we can love them generously. And this year, it's been about this idea of believing in the seed. There is something within inside of each of us that God wants to do and desires to do. Let's pray.